But I always liked calling you Shun because I feel about nicknames when I love someone that, oh, I'm on the inside. I have the inside scoop. If you love him and you're in the cool kids group, you get to call him Shun.
Right, but you created your own nickname, and all of a sudden I became Chocolate Bear.
Sea Bear. Does anyone else from Scrubs ever call you Shun? Did anyone else grab
you? Yeah, Bill does.
Bill Lawrence calls you Shun.
Yeah.
I can't picture Sarah ever saying Shun.
No, but Bill to this day still does. Well, you know, you and Bill probably have spent more time with my family than anyone else in the cast. You know what I mean?
And I remember when you and your brother set up a little sound studio in your house once, and you called it what did you call it? Audio Shun?
Audio Shun. Audio yeah. Shun.
I bet you wish you had that audio booth right now.
I do wish I had that audio.
Because now you're in your closet.
Yeah, I do. I do. That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Audio Shun.
Anyway, we should get into the
Did you
show.
Count us in, Donald? You did.
Five, six.
Here's some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's the stories that we all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
You know, we're getting a lot of love on our theme song, and it makes... Ooh, before we forget, would you mind just laying down a mm-hmm... Because we never got it, and I think the song at the very end should have you doing that.
So, well, we got to get the key and all of that stuff, and
just do a temporary one, and Dan will lay it on for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
It's gonna be out of key.
It might be out of key, but Dan,
I like that one better. The hum.
No, so Dan, now what I want you to do in the edit is replay the theme song now with the addition of Donald's.
Here's some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's the stories that we all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
Mm-hmm.
Donald, this is a very special episode of Scrubs because it has so much in it. And it has your favorite thing in the world, which is, go ahead.
Star Wars. Holy shit. I got so excited about two things.
Go ahead.
One, when I realized it was the Aspen episode.
Yeah, so much.
I jumped for joy.
So much in this episode. The ass box.
Right. The ass box, the things that people have actually stuck up their butt. You know, you might think that those were fake. Well, some of them were fake. But the problem with the light bulb, when you stick it up your butt, is you'll never get it out without breaking the light bulb.
No, that's a different episode, by the way, when the light bulb is up someone's ass and Johnny C. says, either this guy has a light bulb up his ass or his colon has a great idea. I thought that was this episode, but it's actually a different episode.
We went back to that room. That joke could be used again.
But I want you, the audience, to know that this is a real thing we learned when we were making this, that hospitals have... collections of things they've pulled out of people who stick stuff in their assholes, right?
Yeah.
Ass box is a real thing.
An ass box is a real thing. Unfortunately, at Sacred Heart, there's no lost and found, but there's an ass box.
There's something funny about the word ass. When you attach it to anything, you laugh. I laughed every time someone said ass box. I laughed when I think it was Judy said ass pin.
Right. Not only that, I laughed when people called other people ass face. I think
ass
that's hilarious.
Head. I laugh
ass
every head. Time someone says ass head or ass face.
Asshole. Those are funny words.
Yeah, ass next to anything. I'm wearing these big rain boots today, Donald. I want to show you.
Let me see. What are you doing? Are you gardening?
Well, it's pissing rain in Los Angeles. And
you are British now.
Well, yeah, and the British is wearing off on me. I should say the British is contagious because I'm wearing like my big gardening boots. And we have a puppy.
You should be like in the Peter Rabbit movie.
We have a puppy, so I have to be out in the rain trying to potty train a puppy. And these are my puppy training rain boots.
All right. Let's get into this episode.
Now, wait, before we do, when I was on the phone with you and Casey, and I'm sorry to the audience, I know I told you that I was going to refrain from talking to Donald because I wanted to save all our contact for the podcast. But Casey was chiming in on the speakerphone on your cell phone, and she said that you are not even letting the children walk around the block, Donald. I think you got to air those kids out.
You know, we go on walks every now and then. Like, we've gone on two since lockdown.
Yeah, that's not enough, I think. As long as you... I mean, I'm not a parent, and I understand why you would be terrified. But I think,
fear.
I know, bro. I think if you're nowhere near anyone, you can have the kids go around the block. I think that's you're allowed to do that. You got to air them out.
Right. Unfortunately, it's been raining, so I haven't been able to do that. I hear that message loud and clear.
Listen,
you know,
I am
my
in
kids
no,
have cabin fever for sure.
I am in no position to give parenting advice. But I am the godfather of these children. And as godfather, I would like them to walk around the block once a fucking week.
Wow. Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
Write that down in your notes. Mm-hmm.
Listen, they're my kids.
I love that Casey was in the background, but like, he won't even let them walk around the block. All right, should we get into the episode?
I've been trying to do that for like an hour.
I know, but we do have a catch-up phase, Donald. Section one is Zach and Donald catch up, and you're rushing just because you're so excited about Star Wars.
I'm excited about Star Wars. I'm excited about the ass pin. I'm excited about the title of the show, My Two Dads. I love that Craig Zisk directed this episode.
Craig Zisk is a very fine TV director, and this was his first episode for us, and also written by a writing team, Garrett Donovan and Neil Goldman, two of our favorite writers. Some writers work in the writer's room as an individual, and some writers are writing teams. And this is the first, I think this is the only, am I correct, Donald? This was the only writing team for season one?
I believe so.
But also,
not just that, they went on to do other things. They came from Family Guy,
mm-hmm.
then they started, then they did Scrubs, they went on to Community.
Yes, they ran Community.
And then went on to do other projects after that. Like, these guys started, I would love to say humble beginnings, but wow, they started with Family Guy and then went right into Scrubs. And then after that, Community, that's a string of hits to work on.
They were very funny, and they are very funny, and they were very different. I always thought it was interesting that they were partners because they were, the two of them were just such different people.
Yeah, but wrote such funny scripts.
Yeah, they were the perfect partnership. This episode is jam-packed and has more fantasies than a lot of episodes.
Speaking of that, I used to get, and I don't think I ever told you this, but I used to get jealous, and it all comes to a head at the end of this episode. But you used to do some of the coolest fantasies throughout the show. You know what I mean?
Donald.
And this was the first time where a fantasy came up, and I ran up on Bill, and I was like, Bill, you got to put me in this fucking fantasy, man. You got to put me in this fantasy. It's Star Wars, dude. And I don't know if you know this, but I love Star Wars. He's like, well, who would you be? And I was like, oh, just make me Han Solo. Just make me Han Solo, and I'm there, and it happens. And he was like, all right, yeah, fine. And not only did
he put me. Oh, you weren't originally in it?
No, it was just you, and it was just J.D., Cox, and Kelso.
Okay. And then Bill was probably like, oh, we got to add the others if we're going to add Donald.
Yeah, if we add Donald, we got to add everybody else, which created a great joke, you know what I mean?
For those
Easy
of you,
Chewy, and then fucking the janitor.
For those of you who don't know this, and I'm guessing you're getting a sense, Donald Faison is the biggest Star Wars fan that I have ever met in my life. And
Carrie Brothers, too.
No, you're by far the most. And Donald, you voice a character on what? Tell everyone.
On Star Wars Resistance, Hype Faison, the character was named after me. Yep. Dave Filoni named the character after me. That's a big deal for me.
Donald, not
Maybe
only
not
that,
for you all, but
Donald's
for me.
Hobby is stop motion animation. And with Legos, he has made several Star Wars animated Lego films that you can check out on YouTube, and they're called Black Stormtrooper.
Right. So I realize how my stop motion, how I got into stop motion, and it was because of Star Wars. I always thought that it was the AT-ATs in The Empire Strikes Back when they're attacking the Rebel base on the planet Hoth. But it turns out there was a video that came out around the same time Return of the Jedi came out called Star Wars, From Star Wars to Jedi. And it was like the behind the scenes and all the special effects that went into making Star Wars. And like, the documentary is about an hour and a half. 30 minutes of the documentary is all dedicated to stop motion animation. And I watched this as a kid, and I had it on video as a kid. And it wasn't until like the behind the scenes specials that came out with it. And with that, From Star Wars to Jedi was in that package, and I realized right then and there after watching it and putting it on, I was like, this was the plug.
And you combined your love of Star Wars with your love of stop motion animation. Now, you're not going to say this because it would be too controversial, but I'm going to say that when J.J. Abrams made the new movie and there was a black stormtrooper, I went, come on, buddy. Somebody saw Donald's Lego movies.
You can lean back
in your chair and don't say a word. I'm just saying, as a fan of your stop motion movies, the hero of which was the first black stormtrooper, and then the zillion-dollar movie comes out, I said to myself, come on, buddy. Don't speak. I don't want to get you in trouble with all your Star Wars friends. What's his name, the guy with the cowboy hat who's the super Star
Dave
Wars?
Dave Filoni. That's the man right there, man.
I want to be on
You know, George Lucas pretty much gave him the keys to the Corvette, man.
Dave Filoni.
Yeah, man.
He's the keeper of the lore.
Right. And when they go and do other things, he's involved in stuff like that. But, you know, his stuff like the Clone Wars, Rebels.
Is he involved in Mandalorian?
He is the executive producer of The Mandalorian.
I really like Mandalorian.
When he's involved, when they have him involved, I'm telling you, man, it's really, really good stuff. I you know, Dave Filoni should be, if you ask me, you know, he should be always asked, well, what do you think of this, Dave? And let him,
He is, right? Isn't he the keeper of the lore, if you will?
I don't know if that's always the way it goes. I don't know how they run.
I got to say, I'm not as big a Star Wars geek as you, but I really am enjoying the Mandalorian. And
it's great.
I know Baby Yoda is like the biggest marketing merchandising cash grab has ever been done, but I want one. I want a Baby Yoda.
Who doesn't want a Baby Yoda?
I want a Baby Yoda. I want a real life Baby Yoda. Can we get to the episode, Donald, for God's sake?
Okay, let's go.
At 21 seconds in, there's a reference to The Rock. Now, this is 2001. The Rock is a very famous wrestler. I don't know if he's made films yet. She does say he's a film star.
She says he's a movie star.
But he's not The Rock that he is now.
No, right. It wasn't like he was. That's a good question.
Joelle, can you look up what films had The Rock made in 2001? I don't know how many it is, but obviously enough for Sarah to say he's a film star.
Well, look, I'll say this right now.
Yes, go ahead.
The Scorpion King, I think, was the first big... Is that Joelle's, the first
so
big...
So Joelle's cracking up. What are you cracking up
about?
Is that
the first big
Rock
movie?
Look at Joelle's outfit today. She's all matching and
I know,
yellow.
She's all yellow. She got on, and it was all yellow.
You look good, Joelle. All right, what's The Rock's credits in 2001 thus far in his career? Just the highlights. We don't need, like, the little indie he did in Stad.
You always go to Stad.
So The Mummy Returns is the first one. Then Scorpion King, then Rundown, then Walking Tall, and then it really hits it off in 2005 with Be Cool.
Okay, there you go.
Be Cool. What was Be Cool? Be Cool! I imagine The Rock just running around. Be Cool!
It's a comedy with who, Joelle?
Kevin Hart.
No, it's got John Travolta and Uma Thurman and Vince Vaughn and Cedric the
Elder. Oh, right. It's the Get Shorty sequel.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, he was a movie star then. We were wrong. But he wasn't the level of like global. I mean, he's like the biggest movie star in the world now, right? I think.
Him. Well, there's him, Kevin Hart, Will Smith still, Harrison Ford
Smith,
still.
Will Smith, I don't think is on the level of The Rock these days.
Because
The Rock rarely.
His last movie was Bad Boys for Life, and I think that did really well.
Yeah, I'm just saying, and I love Will Smith. Don't think I'm taking anything away from him. I just think that The Rock doesn't really have bombs. He's, you know, there used to be movies.
Yeah, he does.
What's a Rock bomb? Yeah, he does. The Rock has a bomb?
Yeah.
Oh, the beach one, the Baywatch.
Yeah, man.
The Baywatch.
He's had bombs.
I sound like my dad. The Baywatch. My dad saw Dreamgirls, and he goes, and he had never heard of Beyonce, but he saw Dreamgirls, and he goes, I got to tell you, this Beyonce, she is something. And we always call Beyonce Beyonce now because that's how my dad, he was so taken by her, understandably, like the rest of Earth, but he was like, this Beyonce, she is something. Can we get to the episode, Donald?
We've been in the episode.
All right. So The Rock, and then the Family Feud fantasy. I remember going to the real Family Feud set, and that was exciting. I'd never been on a game show set before, and I thought it was very funny that the breakdown is boobs, 93, seeing The Rock, 4, beer sandwiches, 2, world peace, 1. So in when they polled 100 people, two different people in this scenario said beer sandwiches.
Wow. You know, it's crazy that it says The Rock is one of them also, because I feel like The Rock is kind of the, I mean, I'm sure it's been said before, but he's like male Oprah. You know what I mean?
How do you mean?
Like The Rock says, yo, this is what we're doing. And it seems like a whole community of people are like, yeah, this is what we're doing. The Rock said so.
I know, but I don't think The Rock was that level of mega fandom. We're not, this is 20
back
years later.
Then, but right now, it speaks volumes of how steady his career has been and how he is amazing, dude.
Okay, Donald loves The Rock. Who doesn't love The Rock?
Exactly, that's my point. That's like somebody saying something bad about Bruno Mars. You're like, what?
I feel like there's
how could
probably
you be mad at Bruno Mars?
You know, I'm sure there's people who don't like Bruno Mars. There's probably a few. There's people who don't like anything. I once saw this video on YouTube, and it was sweet. It brought, like, tears to my eyes. It was literally a dad singing a duet with his little adorable daughter on a guitar. Mm-hmm. And it, like, brought tears to my eyes. It was the sweetest thing in the world. And then I looked on YouTube, and there were, like, thousands of thumbs downs. Like, people were like, no! No to this!
How dare you sing with that little daughter
of yours? That's too fucking adorable! I hate it! Fuck you! You can find people that hate anything, Donald.
Yeah.
Do you want to sing Taylor Swift, Haters Gonna Hate right now?
Well, I mean, she's the one that taught me that.
She's the one that taught you that haters gonna hate, 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 hate?
Yeah. I mean, once she said it, it was like, you're right.
132, I wrote down Matt Winston returns. Now, Matt Winston, who plays Dr. Stedman and who humps Kelso's leg here, I know we're early in this podcast, but he is my vote so far for most underused, funny, supporting character.
Agreed.
I think Bill had a thing with him. I don't know what happened, but every time I see him, I crack up, and I don't know why this guy was not like one of the go-to regulars.
He should have been around for a really long time.
He may have found a way to annoy Bill or something, because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't commute. We're going to have to ask that. You know what, Joelle, remember when Bill said we could ask him things? Ask, and we'll insert Bill here. Why did you stop using Matt Winston, Bill? Come on.
Well, I'll tell you guys, I should have used Matt Winston more. He was really funny. But when we were that early on the show, we were always shooting episodes that were 5, 6, 7, sometimes even 11 or 12 minutes long. And I was still trying to find room for my pals. Rob Mascio, you know, was a buddy of mine, and I wanted to get him in all the time. Neil Flynn wasn't even a regular, and we wanted to get him in. We were essentially doing an A story, a B story, a C story, and a janitor runner, which, if you're wondering, is too much. So we kept using Matt Winston over the years, and he kept working. He was in About Schmidt, and he was in Your Movie, Zach. Should have used him more. He's super, super funny. Cool bit of trivia. Do you guys know who Matt Winston's dad is? That's all I'm saying. I miss you guys. Why am I not back already with you? See ya.
And I love that Kelso didn't know your name for the first few, this whole time. The reason why he's been calling you sport and everything like that is because he still doesn't know your name.
I literally laughed out loud when I said that's the manufacturer of the clipboard, sir. That's very funny.
Very, very funny.
I just thought he's a funny, funny guy. And but yeah, that scene was really funny. And by the way, a little trivia I saw on the interwebs, because I did research today on the interwebs. You know, there's all this talk that the janitor didn't acknowledge anyone else in season 1 but me. But there's a little debate because he passes the janitor and says, smells like ammonia's pungent today. He might just be saying that out to the universe, Donald. He might not be acknowledging the janitor. But
no, I think he's – I honestly do believe he's acknowledging the janitor at
I know,
that
but that's
point.
Not helping the Scrubs lore that he doesn't –
Yeah, well, you know what? It doesn't track. Some things just don't track.
He might have just come into the hallway, Donald, and gone, ugh, ammonia's pungent today.
Just because we're on the show – and we're best friends with the creator of the show doesn't mean that everything has to track, dude.
All right.
This didn't track.
But I want that to track.
It didn't, though.
Okay. Somebody fucked up.
I love the fact that Carla and Turk's relationship is moving to the next level. Yeah. They are now bumping uglies, or they're about to bump uglies. And what does JD do? He comes in and he ruins it.
Yeah, C blocks.
You C block for real. And I always thought, you know, Carla totally mindfucks Turk, man. Like, she even says to him, do you want me to take you into the room right now and we can have sex? And when you come out, you'll be walking sideways because I will have used all your up and downs.
Yeah, it's very aggressive.
What person in their right mind is going to say, no, I don't want that? She mind fucks him so hard that he's like, no, I don't want that.
I like that she's such a strong woman. She's like, yeah. I'm going to bang you so hard, you won't be able to move. Do you want to? And you're like,
No.
But it's bullshit, though, that you would be like, I'm sorry, but it's bullshit that you would be like,
That I'd panic. He panicked.
I know. Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. Wait, I wanted to talk about my nipples real quick. The Band-Aids on the nipples.
Right.
Now, have you ever been on sets where your nipples, the air conditioning's on, and your nipples are so hard it looks like you're smuggling raisins, and you're saying, I can't wear this shirt because I've got rock hard nipples?
Absolutely.
That's so on my last show I did, it was really bad. So I started, I mean, it's embarrassing, but I wore pasties because the wardrobe truck has pasties for women, and I said,
and
yeah, but they're mostly for women, but and men in this case, because I was like, I can't do this scene. This shirt looks ridiculous because it's freezing in here. My nips are rock hard. Bring out the pasties. So they just became a running joke with the wardrobe department. They'd be like, okay, Zach, you're going to be in this shirt today, and do you think you'll need your pasties?
Do you remember what you used to call my nipples?
What?
You don't remember.
Oh, melted Hershey's Kisses.
Yeah.
That's what they look like. They do. Next time you guys see Donald topless on screen, zoom in, and they look like little cute melted Hershey's Kisses. Oh, I can't believe I remembered that.
All right, so this is a perfect example how we were talking with Bill on the episode a few days ago, and we were talking about how Kelso is all about insurance, and Cox is all about, you know, breaking the rules so that he can get patients taken care of, because he's one of those doctors that actually cares.
Obviously, this couldn't be more relevant than anything today, this debate that was we've been having in this country forever, and we were having on this show. I mean, you couldn't make this show and not start off early on and discuss the problem of health insurance and how doctors have to deal with this huge crisis when patients don't have health insurance.
Yeah, and you know, me personally, I would prefer a doctor like Cox, but I can see how a hospital can go broke if you have a bunch of doctors like that. You know what I mean?
Well, this is the debate of our time, Donald, and we won't even begin to wade into the debate because we're not nearly smart enough. But I did think that this was very well articulated. This, I mean, before I remembered this was the Star Wars episode, I said to myself, "Oh, it's a battle of good versus evil."
Yes.
And they're fighting over the soul of JD on the golf course.
Absolutely. And you think you honestly believe, because of how emotional you get when your mentor kind of washes his hands with you, you almost fall to the dark side. And it's really easy to fall to the dark side. This is why I love this. This is why I love this.
I know.
You can talk about Star Wars.
I know,
this
dude.
Whole podcast.
I know. I have a feeling you're going to find a way. Maybe I have a feeling you're going to start a side project, a side hustle about Star Wars. There's probably 9,000 Star Wars podcasts.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
Bros
sitting around talking about the Jedis. What's your favorite? Let's digress for a moment. What's your favorite? You have to pick one Star Wars film, or and there's a gun to your head. Go.
The Empire Strikes Back. That's the easiest.
That's, everyone says that, right? If you're a mega fan.
Yeah.
For me, it was the Christmas special. The one with Chewie on the beach.
Rogue One is my favorite Star Wars movie. It's
Rogue One. Really?
I got to go to the premiere, and partially because it's everything I love about the animated Star Wars brought to the live action screen. It's the first time Darth Vader's ever really scary. It was fucking fantastic.
Well, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you one thing. That part. If that didn't make the movie, that would have been, people would have been pissed off.
That, like, 2 weeks before release, dude. I'm sorry.
That's so it's so
well,
good.
I didn't know you were a mega fan. Maybe you can be Donald's co-host in his Star Wars podcast.
Donald, we'll chat later. I will do a Star Wars podcast with you.
We should shoot it.
One thing I've always wanted to ask you, Donald, is how come in the Ewok song at the end of Return of the Jedi, they say yub nub ichiki wai wai, and then they go celebrate the life? Does that mean that there's no Ewokies for celebrate the life?
I'm going to have to say yes.
Okay. So it just doesn't translate. Yub nub, ichiki, why, why, celebrate the life.
Right, right. Yub nub. Hallelujah. Yub nub.
You know the whole
fucking
song.
Celebrate the life.
Oh, my God. Dan is telling me that Joelle is the most knowledgeable person on Star Wars, Marvel, Watchmen, literally a million mega fan things.
Well, this is the Scrubs podcast.
Donald, let's get back to this.
Is she knowledgeable in Scrubs?
Yeah, she is. But apparently we're learning something about Joelle that she is mega, mega, mega Star Wars geek like you.
Well.
We're going to have to trivia her later. All right, Donald, back to our show.
So we were talking about Cox breaking the rules. But then one of the funniest things that we almost saw an eagle in this episode when he spins you.
Yeah, that's like a Wonder Years thing.
Yeah, I laughed so hard at you losing your balance after two revolutions.
I think that was genuine. There were two places in this episode where I genuinely fell. One after Johnny C. spun me in that sort of Wonder Years, and that was shot on like Super 8 film to look like the old school. And then when I'm in the water hazard, is that what you call it? A water hazard?
Sure.
When I'm in the water hazard and I'm golfing, I remember I legit fell in that moment and wasn't supposed to. I slipped.
Wow.
And just kept going.
Speaking of golf.
That's how professional I am, Donald. I kept going.
As you should. Speaking of golf, John C. McGinley, I think, has been trying to hustle me because I picked up golf well after we finished Scrubs. I picked up golf. As a matter of fact, my stand-in on Scrubs, Deontay Gordon.
Yes.
When Scrubs was all said and done, he was the one that took me out to the golf course and was like, you know, because my wife had told me, you need to stop playing basketball. You're getting hurt all the time. I'm sick and tired of
it. And you were playing tennis. You were getting really good at tennis.
I was getting good at tennis, but I was hurting myself a lot, right? She was like, you got to stop. And also, tennis is very expensive. Let's just be honest.
Why is tennis expensive? To play, what, you're just paying the court fee. What do you? Oh, you mean lessons and stuff.
Lessons, all of that stuff. To get good, you have to get lessons.
Okay.
And I was like, well, what do I want to play that I can play for the rest of my life? And I said, you know, I picked up golf. And Deontay took me to the golf course, and we practiced playing golf quite a bit. And then finally, you know, we went out and we play a lot now. We play golf together. John C. McGinley, I expressed to him that I love golf. And he's like, oh, wow, dude, I picked up golf also. I just got into it. I'm really excited about
recently?
It as well. This was the last time we saw him at Bill's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, we should go out. Now, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm about to bust John C. McGinley's ass in golf. And then we watched this episode.
Yeah.
And he's got a really good golf swing.
And, dude, he really hit that putt. I mean, that no one was and he did that walk away. That was all real. I think he, you know, they thought, okay, if, you know, we don't have time to sit here all day. You got a long putt. We'll cut it up if we need to. He literally hit the ball and then walked away, and it went in, and he was so fucking happy. I've never seen that man so happy in my whole life.
I'm going to just put it out there. I think he was trying to hustle me.
He's really good. He was good then. He was good 20 years ago. He's saying he's not good now?
That's what I'm trying to say. Golf is one of those games. The longer you play it, the better you are at it.
Well, maybe he was just saying he was rusty or something.
Rusty my ass. He belongs to a country club.
I think Ken really hit that ball for real.
Yeah, and Ken's freaking swing was amazing also.
Mine was not good. And I remember really feeling nervous and that the whole crew was watching me. And it was clearly going to be a joke like, oh, here comes the guy who's not good at sports. And we're going to be here all day trying to make him look good. And yeah, it was very uncomfortable. And
you look
Bill,
good.
Bill cut it together for me to make me look decent.
It's definitely clear that you don't play golf all the time.
Well, the character didn't, Donald.
Right. Sure.
But I'm actually. I should have told the audience I'm actually excellent, but JD needed to be shitty. So.
What you're really good at now, though, is tennis, man. I'm very impressed with.
Thank you. I don't know if I'm really good, but I really love it. I never was into sports, and I finally found something that I genuinely love doing in tennis.
Other than badminton,
I can't play badminton, but I
frisbee.
I do love to throw a frisbee. but I love tennis, and we have the same tennis instructor, Chris Crabb. He's amazing.
Yes,
give him Chris Crabb a shout out, even though you can't even get an appointment with the darn guy.
Yeah, he works a lot. Also an actor.
He was on a show. Do you know the name of his Canadian series when he was a child?
Something Bay.
Danger Bay.
Danger Bay.
Yeah.
Chris Crabb from Danger Bay.
Our tennis coach is an actor, but was on a Canadian series when he was a kid, and it was called Danger Bay. So you should all go watch Danger Bay clips right now on YouTube. Not right now. After this podcast.
After the podcast is over.
Wait, I wrote down something. Oh, so I'm going backwards a bit, but there's a reference to, he calls me, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And that's a Judy Blume book. Now, coincidentally, when I was a child, we had to do a book report, And I just randomly chose a Judy Blume book because I liked Judy Blume. And I chose to do my book report on Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, not realizing at the time that it's a story about a young girl getting her period for the first time. And I remember the teacher saying to my parents, like, you know, he did a really nice job with the book report, but it's a bit curious that he chose a story about a young woman getting her period. I don't know. He's an oddball kid. I was like, okay, that's the book report today. Well, Judy Blume, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
But it's paid off, man.
But you know what? It made me very, as a young child, I empathized with what the girls were going through because I had learned about it through Judy
Blume. You should direct and write a movie that's not about dudes and write a movie about women.
I am, actually. The thing I'm writing right now is about a woman.
That's great.
She's the lead, and I mean, not a child, and not it's not the story of a young girl getting her period.
No,
yet.
But
it could change. I don't know.
I didn't say child. I said woman.
Yeah. I am the protagonist of the thing I'm writing right now is a woman in her mid 20s. And on that note, we're gonna go to commercial right now. Someone's gonna sell you something. Go, someone. We're back.
Yes, and we are back.
I always wanted to say that. That's the fun thing about having a podcast. You can say things like, we're back with Donald Faison from Scrubs.
I'm here with Zach Braff.
Yes, live. Coming to you live from Hollywood. At 6:32, when Sarah shows her breast to the little boy, if you pause it, the little boy spikes the lens. Now, for those of you who don't know this bit of jargon, and this is going to, I'm sorry, it's going to ruin film and TV for you now. So if you don't want film and TV forever to be ruined for you, mute the next minute. But spiking the lens is when an actor accidentally looks into the lens of the camera and not like on purpose. You know, sometimes the person's looking right into the camera like Ferris Bueller because he's talking to you. But spiking the lens is by accident and it kind of breaks down that fourth wall of, hey, we're doing this imaginary play for you. You'll see it all the time with people, actors in the background because they're kind of looking when the camera's coming near them and they look directly into the lens. And actors do it all the time by accident, but it's usually edited out. But I noticed that this little boy, who should be looking at Sarah's breasts, looks at the camera directly into the lens when it passes. So there you go.
Yeah, I don't think Sarah really showed him his breasts. And
no,
that's
of
why
course
he looked
not.
At the lens.
Yeah, she. I think she had a beige band on or something.
And that was his moment. That was his moment of like, I thought I was going to see some titties.
Yeah. So you're saying in protest he spiked the lens. He ruined the shot in protest. I was told when I got this part, I'd be seeing Sarah Chalk's breasts. I just wanted to do a little. I think it's good to give people a little some filmmaking jargon as we go. So now you know the term spiking the lens
or breaking the fourth wall.
Yes,
I love the fact that in that scene, Turk is talking about what gift am I going to get my new girlfriend, and he thinks flowers and he thinks chocolate. And those are very cliche, especially for the beginning of a relationship.
Yes.
Later on, flowers are like the little things, and if you can bring flowers to the table at any point.
Does your wife like getting flowers from you, or does she think it's lazy?
My wife loves flowers. She think, but not necessarily for anniversaries and stuff like that. They're great gifts. But if you can just brighten the house with some flowers.
Right. She likes a
surprise
flower.
I don't know
about
just, not just women, men, kids, anyone. It really does brighten up a room when you walk into a room and there's some form of flower growth.
Flower growth. Now you're saying, but do you ever come home before we were in isolation and just surprise your wife with flowers?
I did that a couple of times.
Couple of times.
And
you might want to increase that.
When done correctly. Well, you know, you can't do it all the time. But
you're married a long time. You might want to crank it up more than a couple.
Listen, after isolation, I'm telling you right now.
You're going to do lots of romantic gestures.
It's like isolation has been like, I'm going to work out tomorrow. After tomorrow, I'm going to be working out every day. Once isolation's over, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make my wife happy. But right now, shit.
Do you guys go and have like time apart other than doing the podcast in your closet? Do you guys find a way to be separated? Bill told me that Krista set up a guest bedroom in the house and said, that's your office. And you're going to be there 9 to 5.
That would be awesome. I would love one of those.
So you guys are just together.
Yeah, well, we have two very young children, so we kind of have to be together. I can't.
Casey posted the cutest picture I've ever seen in my entire life, which was Wilder doing yoga.
She's real about that.
She was in her like meditative state doing Zoom yoga. That was the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, she's all about that yoga.
I need children because I'm like I look at your kids and I go, I need a kid doing yoga. That's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
In the break room,
yeah.
Turk's talking about what type of gift he's gonna get her, and he finally decides he's gonna get her a pin.
Mm.
And I remember right then and there, I was like, oh my God, this is the ass pin episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, this is the I love the ass pin concept.
Yeah.
So much so, I literally, the smile on my face when I realized this was the ass pin episode was huge. It was like guy smiley big. But then it got even bigger when after Turk realizes he's given Carla an ass pin, Todd notices that he has an ass chain around his neck. And not only does he smell it.
Does he smell it?
Yeah, but he also is like, oh, wow, this has been in another person's ass.
Now, the thing about Todd.
It makes him very happy.
The thing about Todd that is already getting filtered in is that he's very, you know, he's the Todd, of course. But I think we learned kind of early on that he's down for anything. Like
anything.
He is open to
anything.
Obviously, men and women, he's fluid in that sense. But also, we learn later he's very attracted to seniors, I think, eventually. We learn that
and,
he also
and is, monkeys.
He's not an ageist.
And monkeys.
What do you mean monkeys?
Where is said monkey?
By the way, we're jumping ahead. We're jumping ahead. But I think one of the funniest times I ever laughed in 9 years was when we're in the break room. And Rob
is in the hallway.
No, we're in the room where we would sleep, where the doctors would sleep. And I think Sarah and I were hooking up or something. I forgot what the story was. We'll get to that episode. But Rob comes down and he goes, sometimes when I'm banging this mattress, I imagine I'm banging that one. So dirty for a half hour TV comedy. Anyway,
we were very dirty.
So Rob, I guess, establishing that someone gave him the chain from the ass box and he likes
it. No, he took the chain from the ass box. The ass box.
That's your analysis? Because why is he surprised then?
No, so Todd and Turk thought they found the lost and found.
Oh, got it.
And in the lost and found were a bunch of items.
Got it.
And they were like, holy shit. And Todd was like, yo, there's a gold chain in here. Gold chain.
I didn't.
Turns out was up somebody's butt.
I'm gonna watch real quick because I happen to be there. I want to see if he actually sniffs it.
Please, I hope he sniffs it. Please sniff it, Rob. Please sniff it.
Okay, he's looking. He sees the chain in the ass. He takes it out. No, he just looks and smiles.
Ah, a sniff.
I called your fucking lie.
But it's still funny.
I bet you he did a take where he sniffed it, and Bill was like, "No."
And Bill was like, "No way, that's not making the show." But still, very funny.
Now, when Stedman, we're jumping around, but when Dr. Stedman says, I'm woozy on the golf course, it made me think of you because we once went to Cabo for my birthday and you were day drinking. Donald is a lot like a puppy in that he'll go super hard, super hard, super hard, and then he needs a nap.
Yes.
And we were in Cabo for my birthday and he's like, we're raging and day drinking and just by the pool. And then he's like down for the count up in our suite. And I was like, where's Donald? I go up there and I try and wake you up. And you go, I'm woozy.
You were with your brother too. Your brothers were there
my
also.
My brother thought it was the funniest fucking thing. He talks about it all the time. He's like, remember when Donald said he was woozy? Like, who says they're woozy? You could have easily said, bro, I'm tired. I'll be out in a little bit. You were like, I'm woozy.
I was drunk as can be, dude.
Yeah, that's funny though. I laughed.
That
so
was too many margaritas.
I heard Stedman Sam woozy, and I instantly started remembering my brother and I laughing for fucking months about you yelling that you were woozy.
One of my favorite stories of you and your brothers are you guys sneaking, and we still use this to this day. You guys sneaking into the house,
right.
Late at night,
right?
Drunk out of your mind.
I think we might have had some of God's lettuce as well.
Okay, so you might have had some of the green lettuce that God grows on this earth.
God's favorite lettuce.
Yeah, and your brother taking his pointer finger and sticking it up your butt. And
right, we were walking. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you guys are walking up the stairs, and he's behind you, and he sticks it up your butt, and you turn around and go, dude, too deep.
Yeah, we were trying to be quiet, and we were like very silly and giggling, and we're walking up the stairs. We didn't want to wake up my parents. And he, you know, he put his finger like, you know, I had clothes on. It wasn't like he went in my butt. But he like tried to jab my poo hole. And I turned around and went, dude, too deep. And we laughed about that. We laughed about that forever because it wasn't like I was saying, bro, fucking stop. I was like, no, just that, not that far. No. Yeah, too deep has been a very long running joke in my whole family.
Forever.
Too deep.
That's one of my favorites. I wanted to talk about, in this episode, they introduced the fact that Turk is a man of faith.
Yes. You kiss your cross.
Right. And the cross is out and everything like that. And I remember Bill coming up to me and saying, you know what? We want to establish that you're a man of faith so that when the Christmas episode comes up, we have this whole storyline for you when the Christmas episode comes up.
Yeah.
And while watching this, this all goes away after the Christmas episode. So they lead up to this. We do all of this stuff where Turk is a man of faith for the next couple of episodes until we get to the Christmas episode. Just for the Christmas episode to pay off. Yeah.
Did you notice when you do get to the scene with Carla setting up candles in the house, 1654, it's a lot of candles. I mean, it's kind of a fire hazard. The woman has set up far too many candles.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a room with candles like that in real life?
No, I've been in rooms where you set up a few candles because you're trying to be romantic, but never, Judy, it looked like a music video set for Boys to Men.
I'll make love to you like you want me to, and I'll hold you tight. That's such a great song. Baby, all through the night, I'll make love.
I love how Joelle is, but you guys can't see it, but Joelle is swaying like a fangirl in the front row. Like she's just shy of holding up a lighter.
They don't hold up lighters anymore. They hold up cell phones.
Oh, their phones. They hold up their phones. Yeah,
they're now cell phones.
So I just thought that was funny. Like, first of all, candles are very expensive, right? So Carla.
Yeah, where did she get all the said candles?
This is before Amazon. Carla went candle shopping.
Yeah. To like Yankee Doodle, whatever those. What was the candle shop name? I don't know if it's still around. Yankee Doodle, is that it?
I don't know.
The scented candles?
I don't know, but she went nuts. And frankly, I just don't think it's very safe. I mean, if you guys are going to go, yes, Dan's saying it's Yankee Candle.
It's Yankee Candle. Yankee Candle.
So you guys are going to get busy. And then I'm just worried, just safety-wise, you're going to go in the other room and bump uglies. And then I'm going to be left in a fire hazard of an apartment because there's 900 candles lit.
I imagine there's also candles in the other room.
Listen, if you're listening to this, I don't want your house to burn down. Let's say you light candles in the living room and you're romancing your partner. Before you go do it in your bedroom, please blow out all your candles in the main room. This has been a public service announcement from Zach and Donald.
Only you.
At 1729, there's that super dark fantasy. I mean, so appropriate for the healthcare debate that's going on in our country now. But that super dark fantasy of Kelso manning the supermarket cash register and just checking out charging old people. And then I whip out the body bag. I mean, I love that Bill did that. It's just really amazing, just satire, but it was like so dark, especially now. I was just like, this is so smart and also so fucked up and true.
Yeah, it's very true.
Did you notice at 1806 that Rowdy has a food bowl? I never knew that Rowdy had a bowl. In the background of this scene with you and Judy, in the corner, a little Easter egg for you guys. Rowdy not only has a bowl, but he has food. We bought food for the dead dog.
That's crazy.
What's wrong with us?
That's what I'm telling you. That's the oddest storyline throughout the whole series. The Rowdy storyline is just so freaking weird, dude. Like, we bought a dead dog food.
Yeah, at a bowl.
The dead, and we make the dead dog hump.
Did you know that he had a bowl?
I didn't know that. I forgot all about that. Also, before we go that far, I wanted to talk about the bar.
Yeah.
That bar is only there for the first season, if I'm correct.
Yeah, now, I think you're right.
And that is not in urgent care either. That's also, that was an actual bar that we used to film in.
Yeah, and it was a big pain in the ass to go there because, you know, when we left the hospital, we were a big footprint with a very large crew, and it always, going to locations was a big deal. Like, I think we spent the full day on that golf course, but going to the bar, they wanted to use the bar so much, and going there was such a pain in the ass that's why I believe it was second season they built the bar set into the hospital.
Into the hospital.
So this is one of the one of the bar scenes that was in an actual bar.
Also, a little Scrubs trivia.
Go on.
I don't have the answer for it. What country club was it that you guys were playing golf at?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
I have no idea.
These are things that I would be very interested in right now because I love playing golf.
Oh, so as a golfer, did you go, "Ooh, nice course, I'd like to play it"?
Right away, as soon as I saw it, I was like, "What country club is that? What golf course is that? I want to play there."
Okay. Well, I bet you we can find out. We'll do.
I've been very lucky to play on some really cool golf courses. I got to play Sherwood once.
I think they're kind of obnoxious. If I can, I guess this is controversial to say to a golfer, but Los Angeles is filled with so many damn golf clubs.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something right now. They're always packed.
Beautiful land that should be shared with the people. I'm just saying, sometimes I'm driving around town and I go, wow, and then there's like a hole in the chain link fence and I go, oh my God, look how beautiful it is in there. And we're not allowed to use it. I'm just pissed.
I'm the complete opposite of you. I'll drive around town and I'll see an open field and I'll be like, is that a golf course?
Yeah. Because you like to play on them. You get invited because you're you to play on fancy courses, I'll bet.
I love playing golf.
Let's talk about the Star Wars fantasy because I think that it's a very special moment. This is a tricky thing because when you're allowed to parody something, there's a clause in copyrights, it's called fair use if you're truly doing a parody. That's how SNL is allowed to do whatever they want and other things that are doing parody. But I remember there were lots of weird rules like, it had to be medically inspired. That's why when you cut a 2026 and you cut to the girls with the buns in their hair, there had to be like medical supplies in their hair. I didn't really think that made sense, but the lawyers had found a way to tiptoe around it and be able to do it if we were doing a quote unquote medical parody of Star Wars.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I didn't understand that. I didn't understand why they had all of those things in their hand. Yeah, I thought the Scrubs enough was. Us being in Scrubs was enough for it to be, you know what I mean? Like I had a vest and a shirt underneath and, you know, I thought that was, if you notice, all of our outfits were Scrubs based. So I thought that would be enough for.
Well, the girls are like they're in real Scrubs, whereas your outfit and mine are altered. Like I've got like the cross and whatever you call it. My Scrubs have been altered and, I don't think that's my hair. That must be a wig, right? That's not my hair.
Yeah, but this was, yeah, and that's definitely not my hair.
Really? Because yours looks like it's yours. You wish you had that hair. By the way, you look so good with that hair. I mean, I
would look, Land, I'm telling you, Billy Dee Williams, watch out, baby, if I had that hair. Or
wait, I thought you were Solo. Are you supposed to be Solo or Lando?
I'm supposed to be Han Solo, but Eric Estrada, eat your heart out when I got hair like that.
You do look good with that hair. You know, we did a Chips photo shoot that you see on the interwebs if you're curious. It was for some magazine, I think Entertainment Weekly or something. And they had a wig on you, and you looked glorious.
I loved it. I looked like Bruno Mars and Eric Estrada.
Yeah, I like this. I have it frozen on your wig. You look great. I couldn't remember if you were supposed to be Lando or supposed to be Han Solo. But
no, I was Han Solo. That's why the easy, chewy line. But also, this was the year we went to the Playboy Mansion for Halloween, and I wore that same wig because I tried to be Han Solo at the Playboy Mansion. And I remember people walking up to me like, yo, who are you supposed to be? And I was like, I'm Han Solo.
I don't even remember. I barely remember. I remember we went to the Playboy Mansion. And
you dressed up as a vampire.
That's not very creative.
And I was Han Solo.
Did you remember liking the Playboy Mansion? Or do you remember thinking like, oh, it's not exactly what I daydreamed it would be?
It was not what I imagined it would
be. Yeah, me too. I remember thinking it was a little bit long in the tooth. It's one of those things where it's like it's better to just imagine what it would be like in your dreams.
The fantasy was definitely better than the reality of it.
Yeah, there were lots of benefits on the show when you could be like, hey, can I get you go to hair and makeup. Hey, can I get a haircut? You go to Carrie. Hey, can I get a Halloween costume?
Or hey, I'm going to be on a show this week. Can you give me a outfit to wear when I walk out?
But look at you. Look at your background. You have no shortage of outfits back there, Donald.
This is all my wife's clothes, believe it or not.
Really?
What you're seeing behind me is actually my wife's stuff. The stuff over here is mine on the left side. That's mine. And those are golf shirts, a lot of PXG golf shirts.
Oh, my God, with the PXG.
I'm just saying.
We have a caller.
Lori.
Hi, I'm so sorry.
No, you're perfect.
You're just in time. We almost ended the show.
We almost ended the show, Lori.
We almost ended the show without you.
Without Lori.
No, never without Lori. Always with Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. It's so great to meet you all.
Where are you from? Where are you calling from?
Trinidad in the Caribbean.
Oh.
Trinidad. Trinidadian.
The show.
Oh, Selecta, come down.
Donald, the show is officially international now.
It really is. It's big.
Are you wearing scrubs?
I sure am.
Oh, are you? What are you? A doctor, nurse? What do you do?
I'm a photographer, but...
Oh, you just love scrubs.
Oh, you just wore scrubs for
the
podcast.
Oh, do you wore them for the podcast? I was thinking...
Nobody's going to see that. You know that, right?
You will.
We'll see it.
We saw it, though. And I like that they're green, too. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Got you.
Thank you, Lori, for coming on the podcast. And tell us what your question is.
So in the series, I think, I mean, y'all always balance between super heavy things as well as really light. But there are two truly, like, super heavy episodes. It's My Fallen Idol, where Cox lost the three patients after getting the transplants from Jill Tracy, and My Screw Up with the big twist ending, spoilers, with Ben dying at the end.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering which one was your favorite, because it's pretty difficult to choose, I think.
Wow. I'm going to be really lame and admit that I got goosebumps when you said that, because I have to go to Ben dying, just because I think one of the most talked about things in Scrubs history was that moment at the funeral with Where Do You Think We Are? And Where Do You Think We Are? And then Josh Radin's song, Winter Coming On. I just think that was just so moving. And Cox, who's always such a strong alpha on top of it all, finally getting to see him grieve and feel pain. And I think Johnny's performance in that was incredibly moving. What about you, Donald?
You know, I do like the episode where Cox loses three patients, because at first he's trying to pitch a no-hitter, and that's what we all think is going to happen, is that he's going to, you know, we even use the reference in the show where, you know, you don't talk to him about what's going on because he's in the zone. And then at the end of the episode, he loses. Am I correct, Lori? I'm correct about this, right, Lori?
Yeah, all three die.
But he is in the zone, and he does feel like he's going to save all three of them, too, right before it all goes down.
Right before. And, like, the two die, and then the one who's his actual friend, he gets, like, the page, and then that's when he's, like, losing it. And then that, I mean, I'm a super freak when it comes to scrubs, but that's right after the episode.
She's a super freak when it comes to scrubs.
That's right after the episode where Jill Tracy dies and himself up, because he's like, I could have saved her. And Cox turns around and says, if you let yourself feel like that, that's the end. And JD turns around and tells Cox that, and he's like, yep.
You know more about the show than
I love super any fans. Of us do. I love super Holy fans cow. Like that. I love it. I think it's so cool. Yeah, Donald and I do not know nearly that. It's a good thing, though,
the
because.
The connection. That's no, it's, amazing.
It's amazing. And I really love your accent. It's amazing.
I never realized I had one, but cool.
I got to be honest with you. Anytime John C. McGinley has the opportunity to do sad drama, it's always good. And so, you know, when Ben dies and when the three patients die and you see him wig out and lose it, it's always good. So if you're asking me which one I liked better, I'm going to be honest with you. I do like the one with Brendan Fraser in it. One, because Brendan Fraser was in it, and two, because this is Cox so far off the rails, you know what I mean, that he's hallucinating and he's imagining things. And he loved this man so much. And this is the only person, you know, that we ever see him love that much, where it breaks his heart and breaks him down. So that definitely is one of the episodes that I feel is our most, it hits hard. You know
it was
what I mean?
So well done.
Just done so perfectly.
Yeah. That one, and when Glenn Turman was on the show.
Yes.
Who's that?
I forgot his character name, but he's the one that, he's the older black man that Donald and I are trying to keep alive. And we sit by his bedside. Yeah, George. God, you're good.
I can't help it.
He's a wonderful actor. And he, that's one of my favorite episodes, actually.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have another question, Lori?
I have my friend, who's the real reason that I even got through to do this, should be on it, because she won't ask the question. I don't know where she is.
You want to call her?
You can't call a friend. It's not a millionaire. You want to phone a friend?
You want to poll the audience?
Do you want to use a lifeline?
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm telling her. Click the link in the email.
It's okay.
She missed it. What is the question?
Just think of any other question, Lori.
If you don't have another question,
you've got the legendary Donald Faison in front of you. You can ask him anything.
Wow.
Well, What I had actually wanted to do really badly was, I don't know if you've seen on Instagram, in people's stories, they have those templates where it's like this or that.
Yeah.
I have a ton of them with Scrubs.
Let's go.
Do you prefer my pilot or my finale? The real finale, season 8.
My pilot. That was the jump off.
Yeah, my pilot is the moment that our lives change. So I think we'll always have a soft spot in our heart for that.
Do you prefer Mandy Moore's character as JD's girlfriend, Elizabeth Banks' character as JD's girlfriend?
Wow, that's a tough one.
I love them both. But since Mandy was my real life girlfriend at the time, I'll say Mandy because that was really cool. It was also really cool to have her on at the time because, you know, it was fun to act with my girlfriend at the time. And I thought Mandy did a great job.
Also, I also loved Mandy on the show, but I really liked Elizabeth Banks also on the show. I was a huge fan of 40-Year-Old Virgin and the character she played in 40-Year-Old Virgin. And I thought that was, you know, I thought it was cool that, you know, she was on the show.
For sure.
All right, go ahead. Last one, Lori, because we're...
No, two more. You get two more, okay, two more, just in
Donald
case.
Donald overruled.
Two more. Okay. Oh, this is so difficult. Do you prefer twisty bottoms or clicky tops? Pants.
Oh, I'm a clicky top guy. I love to nervously clicky click.
Clicky top.
And this one's really for Donald, but did you prefer your Neil Diamond impression or your Aaron Neville impression?
Oh.
Neil Diamond, because I love Neil Diamond.
Come on, give us a little.
When I was a kid, I used to listen to, in between watching Voltron and Transformers on WPIX in New York City, they would always play the best of Neil Diamond. And that's how I learned about who Neil Diamond was. I don't know any of his songs full all the way through. I only know snippets.
Give us
a snippet. So it's like, everywhere around the world, they come into America. And then, Love on the Rocks.
Ain't no surprise.
Ain't no surprise. And then, what was the other one? Turn on your hard light.
Did you ever see the movie he made? I think it was The Jazz.
Yeah, he's in blackface in that movie, dude. At one point, he's in blackface in that movie. Neil Diamond is in blackface in that movie.
Okay, I didn't know. Don't yell at me. I didn't make the movie.
I'm just putting it out there.
But you're acting like I wrote it.
Here's something great that I loved about doing Scrubs and my love for Neil Diamond. The Transformers, more than meets the eye.
Keep going.
The Transformers. The Transformers. Robots in disguise.
So if anyone ever asked you, have you ever heard an impression of Neil Diamond singing the Transformers theme?
Autobots face their battle to destroy the evil forces of
the Decepticons.
Woo! More than meets
All right, Adeshun. Lori, thank you. You're the best. And thanks for being such a big fan of ours. We really appreciate it.
Wearing Scrubs.
Yes.
Thank you.
And thank you for the Scrubs being green.
Donald, I think that's the episode.
That is the episode.
Wait, I mean, is there anything after Star Wars? Let's see. I'm scrolling. The janitor pushes me over. No, that's
Well, actually, let's talk about the reveal. You know, you finally realize, and Dr. Cox, this will go on for the next few episodes, where Dr. Cox figures out a way to come back to the hospital and work, even though he's suspended.
Right.
And he uses, if I'm correct, he uses JD as his liaison.
I don't remember, but nice pronunciation of liaison. I like you put a little French on it.
No doubt.
Listen, I miss you so much.
I totally miss you. In the words of Tenacious D, dude, I totally miss you.
That's Tenacious D?
Absolutely.
Do you know how, is it a song?
Yeah, dude, I totally miss you. Dude, I totally miss you. Dude, well, I totally miss you.
I do miss you, and it's Friday night here in Los Angeles, and man, do I wish that we were headed to a fun restaurant to have drinks with our gals and have long hugs and chats.
Just fun and laughter.
Fun and laughter. Casey Cobb, Donald's wife, coined that phrase. She said...
Well, she didn't coin it. She don't get paid when people say it.
No, but that's copyrighted, but she was always like, y'all want to get together for fun and laughter?
That is her saying.
Donald, do you want to lead us in gratitude and thanks this week?
I am so thankful for so many things right now. One, the healthcare community out there and the doctors and the nurses and the orderlies and all the people that
The EMTs, the medics.
EMTs, everyone that works in the hospital, but not just them. Also the people that work at the grocery stores.
Mm-hmm. Bus drivers.
The people that take our trash out. COVID-19 is hitting really hard in the African-American community right now. And that's because a lot of African-Americans, we have the jobs that people are calling essential and don't necessarily have the best health care out there. And I just want to shine a light on that and shine a light on our community and make sure that we all have each other's backs right now, because that is very, very, very important. And so I just want to thank all of the healthcare workers. I want to thank everybody out there, but I especially want to reach out to all of my brothers and sisters out there and say to you guys, one, stay in. This is not a game. Two, check on your people for real. Hopefully if you're lucky, you'll have a doctor like Dr. Cox or something like that who's willing to, because insurance is a big issue right now. It's such a huge issue right now, and we need to figure that out. I'm just, I don't want to, get controversial and say, people aren't doing enough, but that's something that needs to be addressed. We need to address.
On the next episode, we are going to solve the healthcare problem in the United States.
We're not going to solve the healthcare problem.
I know. I'm just kidding. I hear you.
But I definitely wanted to say, watch each other's backs out there.
Yeah. Well said. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you for tuning in. And we're having so much fun doing this. And we're so happy to know that so many of you across the globe are listening. So now Donald will count us into our final song, this time now with the new improved.
Five, six, seven.
Some stories about a show we made about a bunch of